Hey, we're going to start today with showers of blessings. There shall be showers of blessings. 392. There'll be shower of blessings. Okay. There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us all falling, but for the showers we plead. Oh, that was great. Let's go again. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us afar. Showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Set them up in it, O Lord. Grant us a refreshing. Come and honor our word. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us all falling, but for the showers we plead. That was great, ladies and gentlemen. Let's make it sound good. This last and final verse. There shall be showers of blessings. Oh, that today that may fall. Now into God and confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us all falling, but for the shower we plead. Oh, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. I was waiting for those showers, but I guess it didn't come right away. But I know you brought upon us a spiritual shower, which we all approved to it, that you, we know that you have given us. May it be with us as we prepare our hearts and our souls for the message today, as the pastor preaches today. Thank you for giving us the privilege and understanding that you are with us when times of need. Be with each one of us as we prepare our hearts, and be with the pastor as he preaches today. And all those who are coming and those who are here, in Christ's precious name, amen. Okay, let's go to page 361. Oh, I must have got this one hit. 361. Pilgrims was I now wandering in the cold and fainting throne, when Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely good shall follow me all the day of the Lord. Days of my life, even your story, my soul, and I'm weary. He will lift me further than they. He leads me beside the waters. He guides each step of the way. heavenly goodness of mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonely valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely is great and will lead me to the mansions he gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and shall dwell in the peace of everybody. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Got through that. 354. His eyes on a sparrow. Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my God, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and rest on it his goodness. I lose my doubt and fear. But what I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song is blazed to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Amen. Okay, do we have any requests? Would you like any requests? Yes, ma'am. 401. Good number. 401. Higher ground. Higher ground. I'm pressing on the homeward way. New heights again. Every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, I plant my feet on the ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Faith in heaven, tableland, a higher plane I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Through the main ground where these abound, my prayer and higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith is on heaven land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Number 4. I plan to scale the utmost height and catch his gleam or glory bright. But still I pray, oh, still I'm found. Lord, let me build a higher ground. Lord, lift me up. Let me stand, my favorite head, that I will land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. One more. Okay, dear. What? 385. No, 95. Okay. Okay. Each verse, we're going to ask for some blessings between each verse. We'll start to. Okay, let's have a blessing right now. One blessing. Okay.
Blessing that children say, God's son, to watch over you, clean your
Oh, amen. Blessing was today we were. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Amen. We have a little one who has saved, is saved, saved. All right. First verse. Be thou my vision. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Nor be all else to me, say that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Okay, another blessing. Another blessing.
School's over.
Oh! School is over. What a blessing. Is that a blessing or is it a... Okay. Amen. It depends how you see it. Okay. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in thy dwelling and I with thee one.
Blessing.
Another blessing. Hey there, brother. Got it, brother. Amen. I believe that. Okay. Just I ye not, nor empty praise, thou mine inheritance, out and will waste. My blessing is to be with you all. That's all. that's a blessing. Amen. It's beyond blessings. And our Lord is in heaven, is watching down all of us as we grow. You know, always think that one day, He's going to take us all, and we'll be prepared for that. That's all. Okay. Turn the page. What was that? 403. And we're going to have offering in our last verse. We'll have ushers come up.
403.
That has for me, place in my mind the wondrous key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Number three. Open my heart that I may hear, gladly, Lord, warm to everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare. In us to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. It's good to see everyone tonight. Romans chapter 5. I think I scared some people about Jesus Christ coming back and you're not in church. And they're in church tonight. Amen. I should do that more often, huh? No, it's true though. It's true. Can you imagine Jesus Christ comes back on the hour when we're supposed to be having church service? And you're somewhere else? How are you going to answer that? Right? Amen. Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now turn just quickly. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Second Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. James. Go to James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, on this growth of a Christian. How can we grow as a Christian? James 1, 2 and 3 and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Brother Daniel, you're smiling. Can you ask the Lord to pray? Bless this message, please. Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just to recap what we've already talked about, the first thing we talked about from verse 1 is that peace with God. Mankind was at enmity with God until Jesus Christ came. We have received reconciliation. But to have a peace of mind, to have a peace in your heart, there are certain things that you can do as a Christian. Turn to Isaiah 26 verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. I did not quite get to this because I got carried away with the growth of a Christian. But I don't want to skip anything. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. How can we have peace of mind? Look at verse 3. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You want to have the peace of mind. You got to place your trust in Jesus Christ. That's why he said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. A Christian who does not have any peace of mind is someone who is not trusting in the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 165. How do we obtain peace? A peace of mind. Psalm 119, verse 165. You know, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, but it's also the middle of the Bible. Notice what Psalm 119, verse 165 says. How can a man have peace? Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. You know, there's a lot of Christians are restless. They have a restless spirit. They can never settle down. They can never stay calm. They always have to, you know, they're fidgety and they can't stay calm. They don't have that peace of mind. Why? Well, the Bible says, you want to have a peace of mind? Great peace have they which love thy law. You got to love the Word of God. You got to love the Word of God. And then Romans chapter 8 verse 6 is another one. Romans 8:6, you want to have the law, the peace of mind? Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A carnal mind is a recipe for trouble. But a spiritual mind is life and peace. And then finally, Galatians 6:16, according to the Apostle Paul, how can a man have peace in his mind? Galatians 6:16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. You know, if you don't have any peace of mind, that's because there may be something wrong in your life. You know, when there's something in your life that is going on, and it's hard to have a peace of mind. If you've done something wrong and you haven't settled it with God, I tell you, you are going to be a restless Christian. Have you ever met a Christian who has not dealt with an issue in the past? That Christian is a troubled Christian. They don't have a peace of mind. They're not happy. They're always looking for something to try to cover up that event in the past that they have not reconciled, that they have not corrected. You know Christians like that? They're like the most characteristic of a Christian like that is you don't feel good when you're around them. You know someone like that? When you're close to that Christian, you feel like they're rubbing off this negative, I hate to use the word energy. They have this negative energy that makes you want to avoid that person. And you know what that is? That person who does not have the peace of God. That peace that passeth all understanding. Why? Because they have an issue in the past that they have not left. That they have not corrected. That they have not reconciled with. Or maybe you're like that tonight. I tell you, if there's something going on in your past, there's something that you have not dealt with God with, it's going to keep hunting you. And unfortunately, you're not aware of it, but you're rubbing it off to somebody else. Are you following me? You're rubbing it off to somebody else. And the way to tell is, if you notice that people are avoiding you, if you notice that people don't want to talk to you, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe there's something about you that is so negative that I don't want to hang out with you because you're so negative. Amen? Get it right. Get it right. That's straight talk. Okay? That's straight talk. You want to have a peace of mind. Jeremiah 6:16, finally. You want to have a peace of mind? Here's where it is. You know, we live in a time of everybody's trying to change everything. You say, well, that's too old-fashioned. I want to try something new. Sadly, even in amongst Christians today, people say, I don't want to go to that church because that church is too old-fashioned. I want to try something new, something that will pacify my flesh. And then they're restless. You know what ends up happening? They go to a rock and roll church, right? And they think that they're going to a rock and roll church will fill up that void that they were feeling. And you know what they'll come to find? Oh, going to a rock and roll church does not really fill that void. You know what they do? Maybe it's the pastor. It's the pastor that's I'm not happy with. I'm going to go find another church. They go to another church looking for something new. Guess what? They're not going to find it there. Oh, and some people will say, well, I'm going to find a fellowship. I don't want to go to church anymore. I'm just going to be a part of a fellowship. They go to that fellowship. They stay there for a few months, and they maybe a year or so. And then guess what? They're no longer going to church. They don't have a peace of mind. Jeremiah chapter 6. You know where you find peace of mind? Jeremiah 6 verse 16. Jeremiah 6:16. You want to have a peace of mind? You want to be settled? You want to have a calm spirit and be settled in your Christian life? Here it is. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and what? Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and what does it say? You shall find rest for your souls. Amen? That's why I'm old-fashioned. Pastor, you're only 39 years old. Shouldn't you be a modernistic preacher? At your age, I mean, every other pastor your age is modernistic. They're into the rock and roll type of a church. They're into modern versions of the Bible. Every other pastor your generation, that's what they're doing. And they're attracting a lot of people of the same generation because of that. Reason why I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to stay old-fashioned. You know why? The reason why they're not like that is because they've left the old paths is because they don't have a peace of mind. They don't have that peace of passive understanding. They're trying to look for it by trying something new. Amen. But the key, you've always known it. Amen? You've always had it. It's always been here. It's always been around. And there's no need to change it. That's where you'll find peace. I'm at peace. I am at peace. I don't need to please or pacify any my fellow, you know, young preachers and young generation of preachers. I don't have to follow them. I'm not a part of a single Baptist fellowship, and I will not. I will never be. I hope I don't bend later on in life, but I'm not a part of that. Why? I don't want to be a part of any fellowship. Why? Because the fellowships that used to be fundamental Baptist fellowships, you know what happened to them? You know what they believe now? You know what the things that they subscribe to now? It's no longer what I was taught when I first got saved. Amen? Where's the peace at? It's found in the old paths. Amen? Found in the old paths. So you want a peace with you want to have peace with God? You want to have peace in yourself? Follow the Bible. Love this book. And keep doing what you believe. Amen? Don't change. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We've talked about the standing and the state of the believer. The standing of the believer is we are sealed. We are sanctified, right? Your standing in Christ does not change. You are saved and forever. Your state, on the other hand, we learned, your state varies. Some days you're up, some days you're down. Some days you're faithful, some days you're unfaithful. That's your state. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad. Amen? That's your state. Don't confuse the two. And though you are happy or sad, that has nothing to do with your salvation. How you feel has nothing to do with the fact that you are saved. Amen? Amen. Some people say, well, I don't feel like I'm saved today. I don't care how you feel. What does the Bible say? The Bible says you are heaven bound. Amen? Amen. Amen. Verse 2 says, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, Christianity is a singing religion. Sister Ruthie, you're supposed to say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say it again. Christianity is a singing religion. If you were only here, if you were here last Friday and yes, last night, oh man, I was having fun listening to these young people from age 3 all the way to 71. There was a 71-year-old Japanese lady who conducted who did a performance. Wow. And she did good too. And there was a young boy, Palmer. He's 3 or 4?
He's 5 now.
He plays a couple of notes. And he was so happy that he played a couple of notes. He was clapping and jumping up and down there in the aisle. And I was watching this. I'm like, look at what music does. But just the spirit, the atmosphere of the entire thing is Christian. It's Christian atmosphere. And right after that, after the fellowship, we were having a potluck, and there was food. The girls stood up, you know, and they sang to that the Japanese elderly. They sang, and I'm just listening. I'm just enjoying it. And you know, it's not so much the song. I learned this from Sister Ruthie. It's not so much the song. It's the heart of the person that's singing it. Amen? And I tell you, Christianity is a singing religion. As a matter of fact, a Christian who cannot sing, or not cannot sing, but will not sing in the shower. I know Brother Pat sings in the shower. Right, Sister Mary? You told me. You told me, right?
It says, there goes Grandpa.
There you go. You want to know? You want to know the key to a joyful Christian life? You want to know that, Brother Jerry, too? Uh-oh. Here comes all the secrets now. Here's all the secrets coming out. Don't talk about that. It's at home. You know?
You do too.
I do too? All right. I tell you, the key to a joyful Christian life is you got to fill your heart with songs. Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, if you are not able to sing when you wake up in the morning, I guarantee you there was something heavy in your heart that was bothering you. Oh yeah. That is true. How many of you sang when you woke up this morning? You know? You may not be singing in yourself. You don't always have to vocalize it, right? But how many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you have a song in your heart. It's stuck there. Right, Brother Daniel? It's stuck. And you just keep singing it over and over and over. And it's like, it's not going away. It's like the song that I sang today, The Champion of Love. How many days that song was stuck in my head? It's like, I've heard this song for... It was a long time ago since I heard that song. But it won't leave me. It was stuck in here. It was stuck in here. And then I was preparing my message. And I was like, wait a minute. That story of Goliath and David is about the champion of love. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 2 says, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, you want people to listen to you about your faith. You want people to listen to the gospel. Show them how joyful you are. Don't be a miserable Christian. Amen.
I'm a Christian. I got saved. I got saved yesterday.
What kind of Christian is that? What kind of faith do you have that you're not able to sing? Amen? You know, when I'm at work, I start humming. When things go wrong, I start humming. My deputies and my correctional officer, they look at me like, what are you humming? Oh, nothing. Nothing. If you only know, right? Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I mean, you're living a Christian life. You're worse. Some of you are worse. Some Christians are worse than a person who's on a death row. Like, I am saved. I am heaven bound. But I just cannot smile. What? I don't get it. I just don't get it. You're a Christian. You ought to be smiling.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
You ought to be happy. I'm not saying all the time, but I'm saying that should be the state. That should be the norm of a Christian, is that you are happy.
Amen.
That's your norm. That's your default state. That's not always your state, but that should be your default. Amen? Amen. I heard about a church in Pensacola, Bible Baptist Church in Pensacola. You know what they do? On a Christmas Day, December 25, they would go out in a restaurant, and they would pick different restaurants every year, and they would go inside a restaurant on December 25th, mind you, Christmas. They would go inside a restaurant, the entire church, or as many as could come, and they would start singing. You know what they would sing? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. And then the waiters and the waitresses are wondering, are you guys having somebody celebrating their birthday? You know, it causes them to wonder, who's the birthday celebrant? Because they want to give you a cake, right, or an ice cream, right? Kind of like Sister Sandra and Sister Jackie. Last time we went out, like, why are they singing happy birthday? Who's the birthday celebrant? And you know what the church would do? His birthday! Amen? And see, the world cannot understand that. They think we're crazy, right? But if it's your birthday, you want to sing. You want people to sing to you, right? Then how come on December 25 we don't sing happy birthday to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
When it's your birthday, you want to receive a gift, right? Then how come on December 25 you get a gift instead of the birthday celebrant? Think. Just think about it. Amen? Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then Paul says, here we begin our study. Verses 3, 4, and 5. And then Paul says, you know, rejoice in hope, but not only because of the hope of the glory of God. You know, there are a few things that you can glory about. First, you know, there's things that you should not glory about. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 1:29. First thing that we do not glory about is the flesh. The flesh. You do not glory about the flesh. 1 Corinthians 1:29 says that no flesh should glory in His presence. I tell you, if your body is youthful today, that's not something to be glorious about. Why? That body will be changed. That body is corruptible. Amen? I know some people that they're bragging rights, that the thing that they're most proud about is their looks. I have a lot of coworkers like that. You know, they're like, what is it that you're proud of? This. You know, and they pose and they show their muscles. It's like okay. That body will only look like that for the next 10 or 20 years. Just listen. Oh no, I'm always going to look like this. Really? You think you're always going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? I don't think so. You hit 50, right? 60, 70. You know what happens to that flesh? Diabetes kicks in. Cancer kicks in. Right? All the weight that's up here comes down here for the guys, right? The ladies, all the weight goes somewhere else, all over. And, you know, the skin that you used not to feel, all of a sudden you're feeling the skin. Right? What is this? Amen? Don't glory in the flesh. And then, and secondly, go to Jeremiah chapter 9. There are certain things we should not be glorying about. Jeremiah chapter 9. I learned this one from Mr. Austria, and I like this verse. This has become one of my favorite verses. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23, and a couple of verses after that. Watch what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Here's one thing you can glory about. What does the Bible say in verse 24? But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's something you can be glorious about. That you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you understand his will for your life. That's something that is glorious. Back to our text. Another thing that is glorious, this is a difficult one. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, not only so, but we glory in, look at your verse, tribulations. Now, why would Paul say that? And how could Paul say that? That as a Christian, we ought to glory in tribulations. Who wants tribulations in your life? Raise your hand. No? Nobody wants tribulations in your life? It is part of it. Paul says, glory in tribulations also. Wow. Now why would he say that? Because that is a part of our growth. That's a part of our growth. You know what the problem is with us? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. The problem with us is this. We want the growth, but we do not like the process. Are you following me? Oh, we want to mature as Christians, but we're not willing to go through the process of growth. Are you with me? Go to Ephesians 2, 8 and 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, right? Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But look at verse 10. What does verse 10 say? For we are his workmanship. What does that mean? That means he's still working on me, on you, to make me want to be. What is that song again?
Ought to be like you.
It took him 6 days. It took him a week to build the moons and the stars. The sun and Jupiter and Mars, right? But he's still working on me. The truth is, the moment you get saved, you become God's workmanship. And the way to understand that is in the area or the field of art. The field of art. You know, when you're an artist, you like to create things. When you're creating something, that becomes your workmanship. And you dedicate time, and you dedicate. The Bible says, what did he say? He is the potter. You are the potter. I am the clay. It's the process. God is constantly molding us. If you think about that concept of a potter and the clay, if you're the clay, do you get to say, no, I don't want to look like that, God? Do you get to say, no, I don't want you to be spinning me around, God? And no, I don't want your hand on me, God. It's too rough. No, you're just a clay. You just sit there, stay still, and let God mold you. Amen? We are his workmanship. Now, part of this process, part of your growth as a Christian, our growth as Christians, let me give you two things. The first one we've already seen, and that's tribulations. Through tribulations, the Bible says, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. That's the process. You got to go through trials and tribulations. And we said last time that that's where the rubber meets the road. Many Christians will not grow because they are avoiding tribulations. When a trial comes, they quit. When a tribulation comes in our Christian life, we give up. We say, oh, it's too much. I'm done with this, right? It's just too much of a hassle, too much of a of work, too much of a sacrifice on my part. I'm done. I'm gonna have to do this anymore. Or I'm not willing to go through the embarrassment of singing in front of people that I do not know. Why would I sing about Jesus Christ? It's too much. Why? So people can throw eggs and tomatoes at me? Yeah, right? A lot of people are not willing to go through that era, that period in your Christian life. They would get saved. But understand that from salvation to perfection is a process. Amen? So first, the way to grow is through trials and suffering. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4. Here's another way to grow. Here's another God-given way for us to grow. Ephesians chapter 4. You want to grow as a Christian? Be willing to go through tribulations. I'm going to give you two, and then we'll be done for the night. The first one is that we grow through tribulations. Okay? Secondly, Ephesians chapter 4. Take a look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? A perfect man or woman, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Look at verse 15. What does verse 15 say? But speaking the truth in love may what? Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Here's the second thing that is necessary for a Christian to grow from salvation into maturity. One, you got to go through tribulations. And people are not willing to go through that. Secondly, God has given the church a gift. Or gifts. You know what that is? Pastors and teachers. You know why a lot of Christians will not grow from salvation into a Christian maturity? Here's the truth. I'm not saying this just because I'm a pastor. I'm saying it because it's what the Word of God says. Amen? Here's another reason why Christians will never grow into maturity. You know why Christians will never grow into maturity? Because they refuse to submit and subject themselves under the authority of a pastor and under the teaching of a Bible-believing church. Amen. That's why. That's why a lot of Christians, they'll never grow. They'll never reach that full maturity of Christ because they refuse to follow God's plan of being under that gift that God has given to the church. Amen? The problem with Christians is we like to be our own boss. Amen? We like to be the authority in all matters of faith and even in our life. We like to be the boss of our life. We like to be the authority in our life. We don't want people being over us. Right? That's the problem with Christians. And that will be your hindrance from your spiritual growth. That's why you will not grow as a Christian. A Christian who refuses to submit to an authority of a Bible-believing church and a Bible-believing pastor will never grow. Amen. That's not from me. That's from Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. That's why I do not believe that you as a Christian can go on with your life outside of the church. Oh yeah. People say, oh, I'm saved now. I don't need to come to church. Oh yes you do. Not unless you want to stay as a babe. You know the difference between a baby Christian and a matured Christian? Pretty simple. You look at a toddler. A toddler says, he took it from me. Right? Oh, she said this to me. Even my kids, Zifra and Zevia. I mean, they're 7 and 9, right? But even, you know what I see? I catch them doing sometimes. Atibeya took my toy. I am mad. I don't like her. And Zevia would come running to the mom and say, but Zifron started it first. Right? And we laugh at that. Isn't that true? Real? And Julie? With Jalea? You watch Jalea, right? She takes whatever she wants to take, right? She does whatever she wants to do, right? But that's characteristic of a babe. You know what characteristic of a baby Christian? A baby Christian wants to do what he wants to do. She does whatever she wants to do, and she wants to take whatever she wants to take. Not willing to submit to authority. That's the characteristic of a baby Christian. A matured Christian knows and acknowledges authority. A matured Christian knows and acknowledges the fact that he does not, and she does, or she does not know everything. There's always someone who knows more than you. Amen? And even the person that you're listening to may not know everything that you know. There's always something that he knows that can help you with. Amen? You say, well, I don't want to listen to that pastor. He's only 39 years old. Does that mean there's nothing that I can impart from you? I open up this book and there's all kinds of things that I can give you from this book. Not from me, from this book. Regardless of the age of the pastor. Amen. No, maturity is a part of it too, right? But as for the believer, we ought to be willing to submit to a God-given authority. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews. Look at chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. You want to grow as a Christian? You want to be a matured Christian? Number one, be willing to go through tribulations. Number two, be willing to submit to the God-given authority in your life. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says what? Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know what the hard thing to do is? I'm learning what's a hard thing to do for me is to tell you the truth when it hurts. It's easy to say the truth when it doesn't hurt. But you know, if you consider me a friend, right? And here's, you know, the true measure of a friendship? A true measure of a friend is someone who does not only tell you good things, the things that you like to hear. A person who always tells you the things that you want to hear is not your friend. Amen? A person who tells you everything that you want to hear, always agrees with you, is someone who wants something back from you. Oh, hit a spot there, Sister Jeannie. Right? Right? I don't know her story, but that is true. A true friend, a person who you consider Your true friend will tell you when you're wrong. Even when you're wrong. Amen? That's the challenging part. Oftentimes we don't want to say something because we're afraid to break the relationship, right? We're afraid to offend. But you know one thing I've learned? That's a stage that you have to overcome. You want to be a good friend, just like Jesus Christ, who's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You ought to be able to tell that person that he or she is wrong. And he may be hurt by it. She may be hurt by it. She may be offended by it. But guess what? You pray for that person and let them come to their senses and realize, you know what? I was wrong, and I'm thankful for that friend who told me that I was wrong. Amen? Unfortunately, we're always trying to play politically correct. We're always trying to be nice and not offend. No, there's times when you have to tell them, I'm sorry, Brother Daniel, you are wrong on that. I'm sorry, Brother Will, I'm sorry you are wrong with that. I still love you as a friend. You are still my friend. And because I am a friend, I have to tell you you're wrong. Amen? Oh, yeah. And that's part of, that's part of spiritual growth. That's part of growing as a Christian. In our relationship, when I was first, this is kind of a silly illustration. You have to forgive me, but I have to give you something that's personal. In our relationship with somebody, when I first met my wife, there are certain things that I could not do that I had to cross when I was first dating my wife. You know what that is? It's funny, okay? But look, when you're first in a relationship with somebody, one thing I could not do is I could not fart in front of her. It's called the fart barrier. When I was first dating her, I'm trying to please her. I'm trying to show her that I'm this clean guy, you know. I would roll down the window. I would, you know, just so she won't notice that I farted. You know, I know it's silly. But then, you know how I know that I've crossed that friend-to-friend barrier? When I started feeling comfortable farting in front of her. I said, well, you're being silly. No, really. But you know what's even beyond that? You know how I know that if we've reached that level? I'm going to embarrass my wife right now. Watch this. She has it coming all day. You know the next level of that relationship? When it's no longer me that's afraid of her catching me fart. Now she feels comfortable farting in front of me. She'll never do that in front of you. She'll never do that in front of somebody who she does not have a relationship just like she has a relationship with me. You know why we're able to do that? It's a growing relationship. And the closer we get to each other, the more we're able to fart in front of one another. I mean, I'm being silly, of course, with the illustration. I'm sorry, but I don't have any other way to illustrate it. But a good friend, listen, a good friend will cross that offense barrier. And another friend, and then your friend should be able also to cross that offense barrier with you. Only until then will you know that you've reached that level of relationship with that person. Amen. 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 And that is the truth. Amen. When we're dealing with Christians, with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, one of the things that that pleased me about Chula Vista Baptist Church when we first came here is, and one thing that I've been looking for so long in my life is when I saw the members able to talk to a brother or sister right away. When we were dealing with issues 2 years ago, oh, I love the fact that Sister Fran comes up to me, Pastor, can I talk to you? what happened to this, this, and that? I was like, where have you been all my life, Sister Fran? And Sister Jack, Sister Connie, and Sister Mary, and Brother Pat, and Brother Romel, they just come up and say, Brother Romel came up to my office one day, Pastor, I got to talk to you. I said, what is it? Well, it's about this, this, and this. And you said this, this, and this. That. I feel heavy about it. I got to talk to you about it. You know what that did to my relationship with Brother Romel? All of a sudden, we're no longer this, oh, new pastor, church member, trustee. No, now we're, oh, she's Brother Romel. That's Brother George. Do you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And if you think that this is your family, if you believe this is your church family, and if you think this is the family church that God has placed you in, each and every one in this room should be able to reach that level of relationship with one another.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Tell me if I said something wrong. Correct me. Yell at me. Be mad at me. Then I'll give you a hug after. It's all good, man. It's all good. Well, high five, fist bump, chest bump, whatever it may be. But please don't hide things. Be open about it. That's how we grow together in unity unto the fullness of the stature of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. And that is the only way that we can be fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? That's all I got for today. Are you a member of Chula Vista Low Baptist Church?
Amen.
How close do you want to be? There was a corny, there's a really cheesy Filipino movie about the girl and a boy. And the girl really admired this boy, and then in her dreams, when they were having a business meeting because they were co-workers, he was her boss, and the girl was dreaming about how close she could be to the boss, and she goes, is this close enough? It's kind of corny. If you don't see the movie, you know, you know what I'm talking about, you know? But the point is, the girl was in her dream, she was trying to get close to the boss because she liked him. But she didn't realize, she thought this was live happening. She didn't realize it was all in her imagination. And she asked the boss, is this close enough? Cheesy and corny. But the truth is, I hope we become like that. You know? Am I close to you enough? Are you close to me enough that you can tell me that I didn't take a shower last night and I stink? Tell me. My breath stinks. I have a hair sticking out of my nose. Pastor, you forgot to trim your nose hair. We've crossed the nose hair barrier. Amen?
Oh, no.
Amen. That's a family. That's what a family does. That's how a family ought to be. Are you a part of this family?
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. You want to grow? You want to grow? Be willing to go through tribulations. And secondly, be willing to submit to authority. That's how you'll grow as a Christian. Be willing to make yourself vulnerable. Be willing to be hurt. To get hurt. That's how it is. We ought to be able to trust one another.